Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah, wa ala alihi wa sabi ajma'in, ashadu ala ilaha illallah wa ta'ala shariq Allah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadin abduhu rasul, my bad. Everybody having a good time? Inshallah? Well, the folks online, they can't hear you because I have the microphone and you don't, so we're going to need you to really speak up now. Assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah. Our subject today is the subject of the welcoming or the preparation for Ramadan. And that's where we're going to start with, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, He says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kitaba ala kutiba ala ladina min qablina. Kablikum la'allakum tattaqun. The meaning of more or less saying, ask Allah for forgive me my poor Arabic, and now I'm going to ask Him for the forgiveness for the poor English. Said, O you who believe, you have to observe a sawm. What does that mean? Fasting. And it's prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those people before you, so that you will become a muttaqun. And there were some words we had in Arabic that we're going to try to explain into English. And if you know me very well, you know I like to do etymology. No, it has nothing to do with glasses. That's ophthalmology. Etymology is to take the words, break them down, find out where they came from, and try to get understanding so that we don't get off too far from the meaning of something. And when Allah uses the word here, asawm, He's talking about particularly abstaining from several things. First of all is don't eat any food. The next one is don't drink any drink. The next one is not to have relations with your spouses. And I think everybody knows what that means, right? Okay. If you don't, well, then you don't need to know, okay? Alhamdulillah. So these are three things. That's which are very, very clear. But there's more. That's not all. But those three are the minimum, because if you violate one of the three, then you're not making a sawm. Okay, the next one I want to mention is something that is mentioned from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is to abstain from any vain talk. And I'll mention this in general, not specifically dealing with Ramadan, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir yakulu khayr aw yasmut. Let the one who believes in Allah in the last day either say good things or be silent. So certainly more than ever during the whole year, the month of Ramadan is the time for us to observe this very valuable advice. And to keeping silent and not arguing and not fighting with people. Also because the Prophet ﷺ said, if somebody's coming to you while you're fasting and they're trying to argue with you, then you should tell them two times, I'm fasting. And that should be enough, and you don't get into it. Drop the subject. Get away from it. So that's one. Another is not to make ghibah, backbiting on the people. What is ghibah? And some people said, well, it's to say things about people, you know, that are not true. And they asked the Prophet ﷺ about that, and he said, no. If it's not true, that's lying. That's kadib, a liar. But when you say something about somebody ghiba, it could be true, but he said it's anything a person doesn't like to be said about them. True or not true, you just don't say it. Sometimes we find some brothers who will say, yes, but I'll say that in front of his face so I can say it behind his back. Thinking that only because the condition here must be that it's something sneaky. I wouldn't say it behind his back. I'll say it in front of his face. He this, 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 and this. But the Rasul ﷺ made it clear. It's something that he wouldn't like, whether it's in front of him or not in front of him. Ghiba is something that he wouldn't like said about him. And so it's not necessary for us to ever do that at any time. But again, especially I want to focus in Ramadan, these are things to stay away from. What else does the Muslim make Salm about? Well, one of the things that you can do, and this is not related to Ramadan, but it is a form of fasting, or a form of Salm anyway, is when a person doesn't speak at all. They don't talk. This is mentioned in the Quran more than one time, by the way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I believe it's like Zachariah, right? That he abstained from any speech. And the people didn't know what's going on, and he let them know, probably through hand signals, he's being silent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah rewarded him with what? A son, right? And he got Yahya, John the Baptist. And how about another one? Who can tell me another one where there is, huh? Maryam. Oh, everybody knows this one. Okay. I can't fool you guys. You know too much. Alhamdulillah. And when Maryam, the mother of Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, when she was confronted by her people and they were making accusations against her, what have you done, O daughter of Imran? What have you done when none of your relatives are bad people and none of the women did such lewd things as this, and here you've got a baby and no husband, oh my God. But instead of answering them, she pointed to the baby. Why? Because she's not going to speak. She's doing that same thing. And of course, Jesus, alayhi salam, cleared her of any accusation and made it known. And by the way, they should immediately realize it's the truth, because babies can't talk. But this baby, alayhi salam, did. And so this is another type of fasting. Something else that comes along with the fasting in Ramadan that many of us think about, but it's also a form of doing something that you don't ordinarily do, a sacrifice. And now we're getting that down to the nitty-gritty. What is fasting really about? It's giving up something for the sake of Allah. Giving up the things that you can ordinarily have. Because nothing wrong, a human being is common sense. If you have food in front of you and you're hungry, what? Eat it. That's what animals would always do. But we're not animals, are we? We must be something different than they are. Because if they're thirsty and they have a drink, what will they do? They're going to drink. And if they're hungry, the same thing, they'll eat. So there are many things that the Muslim or the believer will give up for the sake of Almighty Allah. But how about this? Something called itikaf. What is itikaf? Can somebody tell me what is this word mean in Arabic? Literally, what does it mean? What does it mean? I'm asking about the word. It means to do what? Stick to something. Stick to something, don't give up from it. You commit yourself to something. And with reference here, usually we talk about the last 10 days of Ramadan, which could be the whole month, but usually like the last 10 days of Ramadan. And if you can't do that, at least like one day and night to stay where? In the masjid. Stay in the mosque and not leave for anything. You can exit, you know, the masala area to go make a stinja or go to the bathroom or go, you know, whatever you have to do, of course. But you stay in the masjid, engaged in ibadah or worship of Allah. Such as, for instance, I'd like to mention that you could be reading Quran, you could be reciting something from memory, such as du'as. You could be making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could listen to some teaching that's going on. Or if you're a teacher, you could be teaching others. And all of these would be acts of worship. There's another one you could be doing too. It's called salli. And I didn't say pray, did I? I said salli. What is that? It's a worship. It's a form of worship that we spoke about in this morning's program at Fajr. And I hope you'll visit our website and listen to that subject about what is real salah, because we talked about that in plain English and what it deals with. And tonight, of course, we're speaking on the subject of the Ramadan and the fasting. I want to continue what else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in his book. And we're reading this from Surah Baqarah. We read ayah number 183, and now we'll begin where we left off. And I'm just going to switch over to the English so we can rapidly go through our program tonight. Allah tells us that we must observe the fasting for a fixed number of days. But if anybody is ill, if you're sick, or if you're on a journey, Then you can make up those days from other days throughout the year. As for those that can fast with difficulty, like an old person, then they have a choice that they can either make the fasting or they can feed some of the poor people instead. So if you know someone is poor and you're not able to fast, your health won't take it, or perhaps you're just, you know, not well enough, or, you know, there are other difficulties, you can fast maybe, but it's too hard, then you can make up for it by immediately feeding those who are poor. And you'll take reward for that, and you also, if you feed those that are fasting, you'll take reward for that as well. But whoever does good of his own account, then that's better for him. And you fasting, that is better for you if you only knew. So if you're able to fast, don't take the shortcut. Go ahead and fast, because it's better for you. I'll talk a little bit about being ill. Ill here can mean anything. And it's not fair for me to tell you what's ill. And it's not fair for you to tell me. And I shouldn't look at you like, oh, come on, man, everybody else is fasting. Because I don't know. Maybe you're on some kind of special diet, or you take medications. Maybe you have, what is this, sugar diabetes, something like this. And in which case, Allah, He doesn't want you to damage yourself or kill yourself. This isn't the point. So if somebody's saying that he's not fasting, you don't ridicule them because you don't know their condition. Don't do that. And if you doubt somebody's integrity or their honesty, that's not for you to do that anyway. But if you want to help somebody, you can ask them, why don't you ask the imam some questions about fasting? Maybe he can help you without you telling him, oh, you're not fasting. You follow that? And then the imam can help them with it. This is wisdom or hikmah. Now, as far as traveling, I'd like to talk about that word a little bit. Our word in English, safari, comes from the Arabic word safara or safar. And whoever does it's musafir. And sometimes when I travel, I feel like I'm suffering. But this is the reason why, though, that Allah, He gives concession, not just in fasting, but also in the salah itself. For the one who's traveling, he can combine his salah and shorten it, qasr wa jama'ah. To shorten qasr and to combine them together, jama'ah. These are the two prayers of dhuhr and asr, and then the two prayers of maghrib and isha. I'm very familiar with this, by the way, because I travel as many as 200 days out of the year. And actually, one time one scholar was telling me, I don't think you can combine your prayers anymore. I said, why? He said, you travel all the time. He said, I think when you're at home, you can combine them. And when you're traveling, you should pray regular. And I just smiled, and I'm going, yeah, right. Anyhow, when you're traveling, you're allowed to make up those days later. Now, some people will tell you, well, the kind of traveling today is not near as hard as it was then. Can you imagine? I don't know if any of you ever rode a camel. I have. I've ridden a camel in several different countries. In fact, I've eaten them too. They're pretty good. But anyway, can you imagine? You're riding a camel. You're out in the desert. That's hot and hard to travel, and maybe you don't have water for a while. And so obviously, you know, dusty, dirty, gritty, you know. And now you just want to drink. So Allah is not mean. He's not giving you a hard time. You can drink. You can make the day up another time. But if you take one drink intentionally, you got to make that whole day up. A couple points I'd like to make to you about this. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that if a person intentionally does not fast for one day, intentionally, just doesn't fast, I don't want to fast, I'm not going to fast today. In order to make restitution for this one day, he has to fast 60 consecutive days. 60 consecutive, that's two full months he has to fast. And he said, but even then, he won't make up for it. If he fasts the rest of his life, he'll never make up for what he missed by not fasting that voluntarily. That's for one day. So pay close attention to that and don't miss it. Now, I want to tell you about something else I learned about a fasting. I love this subject, by the way. Because when I came to Islam, I was scared of it. I was afraid I couldn't do it. I'd never done it like that. I mean, you know, as a Christian, I used to fast, 3-day fast. That was maximum, 3 days. But they were solid. We never broke the fast. But we drank water. So it was broken all the time. We didn't know. We drank as much. You could drink as much water as you wanted. In fact, I used to make lemonade. In fact, I used to put sugar in it. So it was a liquid diet. But I thought I was fasting, you know. And after, I tell you what though, after 3 days, even with the liquid diet like that, you feel it. You're going, whoa, you get lightheaded and everything. It's kind of weird. But when they said there'll be no food and no water, I went, what? And they said, yeah, and it's 30 days. I went, 30 days? Oh my God, you guys are tough. I can't do that. But then I came to find out that's only during the daylight hours. Oh. And when the sun goes down, you can have all the drink and food that you want. And you can go to your wives. Well, that's not so bad. Okay. But still, the first day I fasted, I remember watching that last hour. When will it end? How close are the minutes? Click, click, click. Okay. And when I drank that first little sip of water, that is the best water I ever drank in my life. And the first date that I put in my mouth, that was the best date I ever ate. Tamar, you know, best one I ever had in my life. I came to find out in the last 13 years that Ramadan is 30 days of the best food you ever had in your life. Because every time you break the fast, you go, man, I didn't know French fries were so good. You know, whoa, that's pretty decent milk there, isn't it? Isn't am I right? Because you're so dry, you know. And then when you eat or you drink, you can feel the liquid just reach all around through your whole body. You're going, whoa, that feels good. So the Prophet ﷺ told us that Allah said in Hadith Qudsi, that the one who's fasting has two rewards. One when he breaks the fast, and one when he meets his Lord. And Allah also said, the fasting is for me. The fasting is for me, Allah said that. But he also said that whoever does a good deed, that on the day of judgment, he'll find 10 just like it. And guess what else? That when you're fasting, you're going to get 10 times, at least for what you do, or more. It can be more. It can be 70, 700, or as much Allah wants to give you. So encourage yourself and others to do more good deeds during this time of fasting. Now that's any time you're fasting, by the way. You don't have to wait for Ramadan. Now there's something that we have in Islam. It says that the month is divided into 3 parts. But I found this is not a strong hadith. But I'll mention it because many of you have probably heard it before, and it doesn't hurt to mention it, but I should also mention it's not strong hadith, talking about the 3 parts. The first part of the month is the mercy of Allah, and the second part of the month is what? The forgiveness, the maghfir of Allah, and the last part is the, I think we call it emancipation from the fire. And as I said, what's the strength of the hadith? I don't know, but it's worth mentioning just for the sake, because we always hear it at Ramadan, so I mentioned it. Alhamdulillah. Additionally, there's another story that we have in Islam which is accurate, which say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he chains up the devils, chains up the shaitan during this time. And that's important for us. The doors of the paradise are open wide and the doors to the hellfire are closed. And it doesn't mean nobody can go to hell, and it doesn't mean everybody dies and necessarily go to paradise, because some people don't believe, that's something else. But the idea is that Allah is making everything easier for you to do good. That's the bottom line. Allah is making it easier for you to do good. And hopefully more difficult to do bad. But for sure, doing the good things at this time is good for all of us. I want to continue reading the next ayah. And Allah said, the month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, because this is when the Quran came down to us. Anzila, which actually means came down. It came as a guidance for mankind, with clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion, the distinction between what is right and what is wrong. So whoever of you observes the crescent of the first night of the month, then he must observe the month of fasting of Ramadan. And whoever is sick or is on a journey, make up those same number of days with other days. Allah wants for you yusra, ease. And the Imam read that tonight in the Salah, didn't he? Fa'innama al-usri yusra. Innama al-usri yusra. Is it? Alhamdulillah. And he does not want to make things usra, difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days, that you magnify Allah, glorify Allah, and on seeing the crescent of the months of Ramadan and Shawwal, for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him. And this is called tafsir, or explanation. Those words were not all in the ayah that I read to you. And then it continues in the next servant, and when my servants ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then indeed answer them, I am indeed near to them by my knowledge. I respond to their invocations, their dua, of the one who supplicates when he calls on me without any partner. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be led aright. So that's good information for us too, because one of the things we want to do as Muslims is remember in this month to make a lot of supplication and dua. Are Muslims in need of anything these days? Duh. I learned this word here in California. Duh means obviously, okay, for sure, like wow. Yeah, Muslims are in big need. So Ramadan is the time for us, more than any other time, that when we're fasting, and we're praying, and we're supplicating to Allah, and we're asking Him, oh Allah, we have so many needs, and You're the only one who can grant us these things that we need. Only Allah can do that. Now I want to mention something. There are those people who think that I've done so much masiyah, so many sins. I've been so bad in my life. I've made so many mistakes. Allah, He's not going to forgive me. So I can't fast. What difference does it make? Allah, He won't forgive me. I'm bad. I'm so bad. I did so many things. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you know who is the worst? And the word in English they used, heinous, really bad guy. Who is the worst person? They said, Allah wa Rasulullah Alam. Allah and His Messenger know best. He said it's the person who did so much masiyah, so much sins, so disobedient to Allah, and then he thinks that Allah can't forgive him because of it. What made him bad? The fact he didn't think Allah could forgive him. Because Allah, as long as you go to Him alone without any partners, can forgive anything. And he said in the Quran, I do not forgive that people set up partners with me in worship, shirk. But anything less than that, I can forgive. Once the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, Kalimat Tayyiba, the best thing you can say is La ilaha illallah. And the best dua is to say Astaghfirullah. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. So while we're fasting in this beautiful month of Ramadan, and while we're abstaining from all of these bad things that we're not supposed to do anyway, and while we're leaving off the eating and the drinking and going through our lives, let us also remember to make a lot of dua and ask Allah for the good of this life, the good of the next life, and freedom from the fire like this. As Allah says in Surah Baqarah, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanan wa fil akhirati hasanan wa qina adhab an-nar. Ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah to accept the Ramadan from all of us. We ask Allah to accept our dua. We ask Allah to forgive us. Ameen. And until the next time I can be with all of you again, I pray for you and ask you to pray for us. And ask Allah to make it so we can continue this work that we're trying to do. To give this message of the real Islam in the plain English language to any who would like to hear it. Without any cost, without any price attached to it. It's simple and it's free and it's online. We make it available around the world, anywhere that people want the message, it's there. Please make dua, Allah, let us continue. Jazakum Allah khair. Wassalamu alaikum.